RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
I'm so happy you guys are still alive.
I am excited.
I am so happy.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
Ooh.
Be a good day with DA.
Hey, Doc.
I do love the Doc.
Happy being alive day.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna have a good day. Hey. Gonna see Pete the Body's new wrestling shirt today. Hey. Gonna have a good day. Carlos with a K showing off the arm tats today. Hey. I just noticed that, by the way. Don't Mraz and Bogus. DA, by the way, will be back tomorrow through the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead be off all of next week.
Right.
So, and because I don't have work email, I haven't sent emails to DA. So apparently he sent one to you guys. I'm sending one out. Moving parts this week.
Right. And I try to do the math. I don't think he's actually gaining more time with you by this switch. He's just getting back to you sooner. And then next week is all messed up to begin with because of July 4th.
Right.
So that's a better week to be out altogether.
So I believe, and I don't know your days off, just to let the audience know, we are all out the 4th of July.
And the 5th.
And the 5th, we're all out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So okay. You and I, I'm guessing, will be here next Monday and then Thursday, Friday.
That's the way I am. And then yes. I am on vacation the week of the 10th.
Yeah.
Where I think DA has said that we might have some fun with, you know, who's going to replace me kind of deal mm-hmm. that week.
That would be fun.
Now, that being said, Carlos might be one of those guys in line. First time I've seen.
Used to be.
Really? Arm tats.
Thanks for your vote of confidence, Bogus.
Arm tats, Carlos. Have we never seen your arms before?
Probably not.
I have
7 tattoos, by the way. So.
7 tattoos. Interesting. All of them on your arm?
No, I have one on my chest. The other 6 are on my arms and shoulders.
Okay. All right, interesting. I've never seen it. I guess he wears a lot of sweaters and stuff, but summer's here, man. Summer's here.
Although you wore a basketball jersey to Bob's Bar.
But I had a shirt over it.
But a long sleeve shirt?
No, Sean was probably just drunk.
Yeah.
No, I can assure you, thanks to Knockout Neil, I wasn't. I was not drunk.
You mean Knocked Out Neil?
Yeah.
Mm.
Freaking dying to drink Oreos, Splats, Kona, Big Waves. I'm getting screwed left and right. All right, anyway, good to see. Carlos with a tat. Anyway, the Suns this... What?
No, nothing. You're good.
The Phoenix Suns, as the NBA roster shuffles continue,
I am very loose.
There was a lot of thought that DeAndre Ayton, we're Ayton it up. DeAndre Ayton, their center, their prize, former first round pick, high paid, would be shipped out in some kind of money making deal, including, by the way, there was a report from the Philly Inquirer that Tobias Harris could end up in, which made no sense schematically from a Suns standpoint.
Well, from the Sixers standpoint, why they would want Ayton when they already have Embiid never made any sense to me either.
Ayton would be shipped out to a third
party.
Which is what, yes, that was the follow-up to the initial thing. But also then somebody from the Cactus in Tucson was like, this is not a thing. The Suns are not, they've never thought about this. This is not, this called complete BS on this story.
So, Phoenix Media, big baby in the landfill, say complete BS. So Chris Haynes, Bleacher Report, said that despite all these rumors, the Suns flat out aren't planning on trading DeAndre Ayton at all. Phoenix believes Ayton's value is at an all-time high and wants to see him play alongside Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and the newly acquired Bradley Beal. This, of course, the report comes after the Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer report. So Ayton is only 24. He's still thought of as one of the best young big men in the NBA. But again, he sucked in the playoffs. He had a decent regular season with an 18-10 average. You know, he felt like a disappearing act the year before at times in the postseason.
Kind of quit maybe on Monty kind of Williams. Quit.
Right. So now there's a new head coach in there, and that obviously is the big factor here. It's not Monty Williams' sons. It's going to be Frank Vogel's sons. And maybe Phoenix believes that to be the case. But the question is, if Ayton's value is truly at an all-time high, and you're paying him a ton of money, isn't that the time to sell DeAndre Ayton?
Yes.
To try to make yourself better. Because, look, this is about a big three. How many times are you going to say big three? It's about a big three in Phoenix right now. It's Durant, it's Booker, and it's Beal. You know, the Nuggets weren't paying Aaron Gordon the kind of money that DeAndre Ayton's making. And that's essentially what Ayton on this team with already those three guys is going to be if they're going to be a championship team. He's going to be how Aaron Gordon had to be, you know, the Nuggets' fourth guy at that point. If with these three guys on the team, Ayton's numbers only continue to dip in terms of points, and maybe he gets frustrated. He's already fought with Monty Williams. Maybe he gets even more frustrated. His value in a trade will only continue to deteriorate, which is why even at 24, all of this stuff, it might be even best for Ayton to go elsewhere. This really feels like it doesn't make much sense unless they're settling for Ayton, a guy you use that high a pick on, paying that much money on, to simply just be your big man in the middle, hope he grabs boards, but he's never going to be that prolific type player that you drafted him to be.
This reads like they tried to trade him, they like to trade him, but nobody wants him.
Yeah.
That's what this sounds like. It's like, okay, we'll listen, because I think the number's $160 million.
To imagine.
Committed to just those four guys for next year.
Which, by the way, again, I should remind you, Wolves and Center Reed agreed on three-year $42 million deal. It's the biggest story today.
So, and I think that puts them over the first new luxury tax threshold just by those four guys. So it makes a lot of sense to move Ayton to get some flexibility, to get some new assets, because you even pointed out like they don't own a pick again until, like, what, 2031?
Yeah. So now, like, they will have picks, but they don't
own it. They don't control one.
Right.
So they could get some things back here, but more importantly, come down a little bit salary-wise so they're not basically buying players for a penny to fill out the rest of their roster. So it makes a lot of sense to get rid of DeAndre Ayton, and this report makes it seem like sugarcoating the idea that there's just nobody to take him off their hands. So maybe he's that damaged over commitment or behavior or whatever, because otherwise we see him at his best, and his best is damn good. And he's only 24. Yeah. Like, you should want a player like this, and nobody seems to want a player like this, which is not good news for the Suns right now.
Definitely not good news for the Suns. So, something to monitor. Maybe he still will get moved. Maybe this is all BS, and we'll see. We are going to get, I guess next week will be a very big NBA week as far as free agency, trades maybe more materializing. And it's really a shame nobody cares about hockey, because hockey has a chance to own this week with their draft and their player movement and whatnot, because I'm sure there's going to be trades, but nobody's going to pay attention to that on Wednesday.
I mean, I was following all weekend the saga of this Blues Flyers potential trade.
I didn't see this.
Kevin Hayes going to St. Louis, but then Torrey Krug in St. Louis exercising his no trade clause.
Krug, like Adam Krug.
No, I like Adam Krug better. Torrey Krug saying no way to the deal. So he's staying in St. Louis for now. They're not going to Philadelphia. It's big NHL news.
Big NHL news. We'll keep an eye on that. we'll monitor that.
If Caserta is on updates at any point this week and he doesn't know the NBA, there's no chance he knows NHL stuff, right?
No, Caserta's a Ranger fan.
But it's true. He shuns the NBA altogether.
Yeah.
So he would have gotten Torrey Krug correct.
Can we play good tweet, bad tweet before sound check? Yeah? Everybody's in? All right. Good tweet, bad tweet. I don't know what was more painful. The cab ride from Penn Station to work yesterday morning with the driver dropping me off three blocks away from my destination, or the phone call I was just on with 311 to file a complaint about it. Good tweet, bad tweet.
That's a bad tweet.
Okay, I'm going to read it again for the audience in case they listen carefully. I don't know what was more painful. The cab ride from Penn Station to work yesterday with the driver dropping me off three blocks away from my destination, or the phone call I was just on with 311 to file a complaint about it. You say bad tweet.
Bad tweet. You can't call 311. Crappy job by the cab driver.
What is 311?
It's the, like,
it's the information line.
Yeah, basically. It's like the New York, it's New York City's phone number.
Okay. Pete, good tweet, bad tweet.
Bad tweet.
Okay. You care to elaborate on why that would be a bad tweet?
It's, who cares?
Okay. Yeah, so Boyle's submarine, they deserved it take last week was in poor taste. That's a bad tweet.
Last week?
No doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
This person deserves a bad time on hold if you're calling 311 to complain about a bad taxi ride.
Okay.
I got no sympathy for that.
Carlos?
It's a bad tweet. It's three blocks. Does anybody, like, what a first world problem to complain about.
Okay. Well, here would be my question before I reveal good tweet, bad tweet. Why would a cab driver have to drop you off three blocks from your job? Like, what would be the purpose of that to make you get out and then for you to file a complaint?
Well,
what do we think happened?
Okay, because if he pulls up and he goes, you're here, and you go, I'm not, then he keeps going.
Right.
So why did you get out of the cab in the first place?
So the big reveal is, it's Peter Schwartz.
Oh, okay. Makes all the sense in the world
now. This is the
Peter
Schwartz tweet from the weekend. So remember when Schwartz was in with us on updates? Was that Friday, I believe? Or Thursday?
Yes, it was Thursday.
Thursday.
Because Friday was Caserta saying, here's Brad Stevens before the NBA draft resumes.
So that is exactly what happened. Thursday morning, Schwartz on, notice how he didn't tell us this happened because he didn't want us revealing it on the air, but he couldn't help himself on Twitter. He apparently leaves Penn Station, gets in a cab, and they drop him three blocks from here. And he was so angry that he had to walk three blocks that he now had to call 311 and then got angry that they didn't want to deal with his phone call. Why do you think Schwartz would have to be dropped three blocks? Now, I know at that time of the morning, there were not really road closures because we all came here.
Right.
So I know that wasn't the deal. Do we think that Schwartz smelled? Do we think
that he got kicked out?
That he got kicked out?
I mean, I don't
like why would Schwartz have to walk through? And also,
no, he smells. He, probably not why he got kicked out.
And also, Schwartz controls the tip situation, all of that there. If you have to walk three blocks, you just don't pay your full rate.
Yeah, although now everything is kind of is like digitally. Like when I get in a cab, you can like connect it to your phone, so it pays automatically.
Yeah,
so
but
you
then,
can't.
But also, it pays. The meter will stop still when wherever you're dropped. So you're still paying for where you got to.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go back to the beginning and ask him why he's taking a cab from Penn Station anyway. Just get on the subway like the rest of us do.
Yeah.
But what's so bad about the cab ride from Penn Station there? It's a simple cab ride.
But why would it stop three blocks away?
And why would you get out? Why would you have no choice other than to go, hey, I'm not there yet. Take me to where I'm supposed to be.
And this inherently is why it's a bad tweet from Schwartz. He leaves himself open to too many questions.
Right.
It is a useless tweet in the sense that who cares normally, right? All right, Schwartz, you had a bad cab ride experience, and then your 3-1 call stunk. But now you've made us care. And by making us care, there's not one of us out there reading that tweet that thinks this makes Schwartz look good.
No.
You know what I mean? No. It's something we shouldn't care about. Now we care, and we all care because in what scenario does Schwartz look like he did something right there? Because there's no way a cab driver's just like, nope, get out here, not finishing the ride, and you've done nothing. There's no way.
No, or even if he makes a mistake, like I have taken that cab ride down here because we're late or whatever, or there's no trains, and there are times where it's shocking to me, the cab driver doesn't know, like, you should know every address, basically, or the general area. So when I get in and I say I'm going to here, you should get me really within striking distance. Maybe you're on the wrong side of the street, you're a block short, or do I turn here or turn there? Because one block, you know, blocks are one way or the other. But so, like, to be three blocks short, you're allowed to go, sir, this is not my destination. Can you please continue? And a good cab driver, even if you turn the meter off, will go, yes, and he'll take you there for free, you know, finish the drive without charging you. So I need to, you're right. Why would Schwartz get out of the car if he knew the guy was wrong?
Brain Cramp has a theory on Twitch.
Please.
Just logged into Twitch here. I'm guessing the driver thought he was there and Schwartz didn't pay attention, got out, and then realized.
Which is then Schwartz's fault.
Right. So why would you complain about that? Because the guy whiffed on the address?
Now, Pete, you get mad at Schwartz for being less than creative with his updates. Do you think last Thursday is explained by him being on hold with 311 for that long that it prevented him from writing better scripts in your estimation?
He was actually okay on Friday.
He wasn't here on Friday.
Oh, Thursday, whatever.
Caserta was actually terrible on Friday.
Leave him alone. He's still.
I gotta be honest. I mean, you talk about. I announce I'm leaving. Everybody just decides to suck. I mean, Caserta had no idea the NBA draft wasn't going on.
That was rough.
How is that possible? I got submersive jokes here. But Boyle, Schwartz complaining about cabs.
There's always one with Boyle.
Yeah. In case you were wondering where Pete's leaning on the potential replacement. Very worried.
Clean slate.
As Pete said, the bond in the control room is something. I'm getting the feeling he doesn't want that bond with Boyle.
Pete might clone himself.
We got a no comment out of Pete.
He did. He thought about saying something, and then he decided not to. The mouth was open, the brain was churning, and then he's like, "Nah, I'll sit this one out."
Boy, yeah, Shams might report that Boyle's got that job. Don't believe him.
I think I'm going to refuse comment until we find somebody.
Oh boy,
I'm excited for you to really champion someone to get the job. Then they get it. Then they're not good, and then you didn't hire them.
Or then they're not good, or they get it and they leave right after
that too.
Unbelievable. All right, when we come back, your best audio of the day. Freddie Freeman's got 2,000 hits. Can you believe that?
Can you believe that's no longer in Soundcheck either?
No, I put it back in Soundcheck.
Oh, we did?
Check the paper, Bogus.
I did. I thought
full
I read
disclosure,
it right.
Full disclosure, before the Soundcheck bed plays, we throw to break. Carlos was trying to be very proactive. He handed us a Soundcheck, including Freddie Freeman's 2,000th hit.
That was a mistake.
And here's the crazy thing. I usually never look down, right? It's, hey, you didn't read this. I looked down at Soundcheck because I wanted to make sure something was funny in there. There is something funny coming. And I saw the Freddie Freeman thing, and it clicked in my head. I'm like, bingo. Light sports day. We could actually comment on this. Then Carlos comes in last break, Bogues, and hands us new sheets. It takes off Freddie Freeman's 2,000th hit.
Yeah.
Because he's being proactive, he said Boyle had played the clip, which I get it. But at the same time, because it was so light, I'm like, I actually wanted to talk about that. I didn't even comment when Boyle played it because we were going to be talking about it. So now I put it back in Soundcheck.
So we're on our second revision, but back to the original version of Soundcheck?
Correct.
So the first sheet I have is now correct again.
Correct.
It was garbage, but now it's back.
Well, absolutely. It's not garbage because it's still on your desk, meaning I never took the old sheet away.
But the one you handed to me with the update is now useless.
Now that's trash. Now that needs to be recycled and hopefully become something good, like a new butterfly or something.
Wow. So Carlos went from not listening to cuts, so bad ones got in late last week.
Yeah.
To now he's
oversensitized to Soundcheck. But I give him credit. He was doing the right thing.
He was.
He had the right mindset. It's just the rare day where he had nothing going on where I wanted to talk about Freeman.
Thanks for that.
So there we go. The trials and tribulations of who will replace me continue here on CBS.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Victor Wembanyama was, I guess he was asked if his mom was as tough as Coach Popovich.
Was mom as tough as Coach Pop?
No.
when did that begin?
You know, I haven't experienced playing under Coach Pop yet, but I know for sure my mom wasn't as hard as him because she was only my coach when I was probably like 5 years old. So if she had been as tough as Coach Pop, I probably would have quit.
Power forward center Victor Wembanyama.
Here's why that question's crap, and not the clip. He hasn't played a game for Coach Popovich. He didn't grow up here in America watching Spurs basketball. Now he might have watched, you know, from the global standpoint, the Spurs had a ton of global stars. But you don't want. I think if you're watching Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, you're not watching based on how hard an ass a coach Greg Popovich is. So even if you're having fun with like trying to compare your mother coaching you, whatever, it's a crap question. He has no idea what he's getting into with Pop yet.
And I don't even know if he worked out. Right. I don't even know if he worked out for the Spurs pre-draft because he was going to be the pick. So I don't even know. He may have never been in an actual basketball scenario with Pop to know if he's tough or not.
Now, if Wembanyama, you're already starting to see, he's a little boring.
See,
because you come out and go, nobody could be as tough as my mom. Like he gives you the answer of no, my mom is it. You know,
all right,
it's kind of a boring
Wembanyama.
So also that misspeak by Schwartz now has different context since that's post bad cab driver.
Power forward center Victor.
He
was
Victor Wembanyama.
He might have still been winded from the 3-block walk to the front of the building, and therefore could not muster the strength to correctly say Wembanyama. But I wanted to point out, I feel like I was ahead of the curve when I saw Victor throw the first pitch out of Yankee Stadium, and I said how he handled the situation so well, ready for the spotlight. And that's all anyone's been talking about since he's been here in the States, how good he's been in all these different scenarios, that he fits like that part of the equation is no one's concern. I think I can be a draft expert now. I saw that. I felt it.
Well, we
and
might
everybody,
need
everybody
one.
Else jumped on.
Maybe we'll do a spot at 8:20 with you. We need a guest.
Yeah, swing back to me.
All right, we'll go back.
All right, I think the second sound clip this morning is Freddie Freeman, his 2000th hit of an RBI double last night, Dodgers versus Astros.
2-1 to Freeman. Fly ball, right center.
Wait a minute.
Racing on back, Tucker, he can't get it. It rolls to the wall, arriving at second base, Freddie Freeman, career hit 2000. And altogether fitting and proper, it is with a double. Two doubles today. He leads the league in two base hits with now 27 and a standing ovation for Freddie Freeman. Hit number 2,000. He tips his cap to the fans receiving a standing ovation. Freddie Freeman.
Okay. Folks, I have to admit something.
I'm listening, sweetheart.
First of all, the fact that Freddie Freeman's been in the league 13 years is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like he just came up. So that when I first saw yesterday that he had his 2000th hit, I was like, wow, already? But 13 years, a long time.
So now you think he's slow to get there?
No. I think it's just right, but it's amazing to me that he's been in baseball. I would have guessed 7 years. Honestly.
Right.
13 years. Here's the other thing I must admit. Look. I'm not up late watching Dodger baseball. I'm just not. My brain has completely deteriorated in terms of what I absolutely could be a sports almanac about. I used to be able to rattle off every roster or whatever. I know I watched the Yankees play the Dodgers because I was watching when Aaron Judge ran into the... I watched that whole weekend.
Right.
And yet, I must admit, I sit here today hearing Charlie Steiner, and I say to myself, didn't Freddie Freeman go back to the Braves because he was unhappy with the Dodgers and something happened last year?
No.
And now that I say that, I know I've watched plenty of Braves games where he's not been on the team, so I don't know why I would think that.
No, the story that you're almost remembering...
Didn't something like that happen?
The story... No, it was Doug Gottlieb who said that how bad the Braves were at negotiating and that, like, Casey Close, his agent, turned something down or didn't tell Freddie about the Braves' last offer, and that got him to the Dodgers.
Right, I remember that.
But there was nothing about going back
but
to the Braves.
But I thought Freddie Freeman, because then he went back, when he went back to Atlanta and played with the Dodgers.
That was this year, and he cried.
Oh, I thought that was last year.
No, I think it was this year.
I thought it was towards the end of last year, and there was like a whole thing about how even his Dodger teammates were like, bro, enough.
No.
How much he loved it.
But he never he never left the Dodgers.
I might be having the craziest deja vu when I could have sworn it led to him being traded back to the Braves. Maybe no. I'm the one having Boyle-like dreams.
Yes.
But I'm saying this and I know it's not true. Like, I know he's not a Brave.
Definitely not a Brave.
What is going on? I need a vacation. I need a full week off. I haven't had one since Christmas. My brain is completely melted. I don't know what end is up. I don't sleep. My kids are a disaster. My dogs are a disaster.
You're a disaster.
I'm a disaster.
My kids,
I'm tired
dad's
of
a disaster.
Folding laundry. Tired of contract dogs. I want to go to bed.
But while as hectic as the last few weeks have been for you, long before you didn't know where Trey Turner was. You've had, or which is Trey Turner, who's Justin Turner.
I've become bad at baseball player movement, yeah, admittedly, which I better get good at quick.
Yeah, uh-huh. Forget all you know about SEC football. Throw that out and replace that brain space with the NL East and AL West.
I was the guy. I was the guy you went to, and I could rattle off where everybody batted in every lineup. And now I'm just, I'm lost.
I think we all are. And then my kid asked me questions like, I don't know, is that a real person? Because now he's in that, like he knows all 26 guys on rosters now. And then he asked me about them, and I'm like, or he plays video games and he sees a name that pops up. And he's like talking about the guy, and I'm like, I think he's just good in the video game, not in real life, buddy. Like, I don't know who that is. So it just, we only have a certain amount of space in our brain. And as adults, there's more important things that need to take it up. And this is what gets sacrificed.
Right.
Knowing who the backup second baseman of the A's is.
Not to get sappy, but last night at 7 o'clock, I'm finally laying down. You know, I'm throwing on a show. I don't go to Astros Dodgers at that point. I go to whatever my daughter wanted to watch, which was some Cinderella movie. And she turned to me and said, Daddy, my favorite part of the weekend was you playing with me in the pool. I'm sorry, like, that takes priority.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I'm sleeping. I must have slept and dreamt that Freddie Freeman got dealt back to the Braves.
Now, did she say that unprompted?
Unprompted. She
turned
around.
You didn't ask her, like, tell me right now.
Folks.
Power rank.
It was such an unbelievable. You know, like, you have the daughter, the father-daughter moment. She turns around, Daddy, my favorite part of the weekend was you playing with me in the pool out of nowhere. I mean, tell you, it won't melt your heart.
Random weekend recaps?
She does. Well, she's very big on what day is what now. So when we tell her it's Sunday night, we're winding down, back to daycare tomorrow, this whole thing. She, like, in her head, she thinks about what she's done. So
you're teaching her the cyclical nature of how a week works.
Right. But I say that, and it's not an excuse, but I don't compartmentalize what I used to.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Now, is it possible, because she's your daughter, that she's a little sneaky, and she walked into the other room later on and told Danielle that the fair part of her weekend was, like, making cookies with mommy yesterday morning? Do you think she's playing both sides here?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. And I want to clap it up for my wife. Went food shopping for the first time in 3 years without me yesterday. What an unbelievable job by her.
You
That's
are
such a backhanded compliment.
And you're so good at them.
No.
Yes.
I'm very proud of her. She went. We forgot dog food, but she went.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not sure she hears that sound.
She got home without Waze.
Yeah.
She's a big girl.
No, she did great.
Got
she
the even, call all by herself.
She, no, she even meal prepped. She's practicing because I'm not going to be home in the afternoon to do all this stuff anymore. She's practicing.
I am sending her this clip.
Great.
Yeah.
She actually did tell me yesterday. She goes, Pete texted me. I said, and my Amir.
For what?
No, she said just to say thank you because we had gift. But it was like, what happened? What is he stewing you up for? All right, Chris Moore. was on CBS Sports Radio doing Chris Moore things this weekend.
Also, for the longtime Yankee fans, you had the greatest impression of the scooter. If you could do one of those, that would be amazing. And it's so great to hear you on the radio again, because I always wonder where you went to.
All right, thanks for checking out, David, and I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been a lot of places since I was the play-by-play voice of the Florida Panthers.
But yeah, I still like to do the scooter. Holy cow, that Huckleberry White. I mean, Mercer, Seaver, Fran Healy, Frank Messer. Holy cow, that Huckleberry. Carlos Ortiz is producing the program. I mean, holy cow.
No, it's great. Scooter was one of a kind.
Oh, boy. You know, we started the show talking about Antonio Brown's well-being. I must ask about Chris's.
Seriously.
So I happen to love Chris Moore. And
who doesn't?
I haven't talked to him enough lately, but
seems like a very nice girl.
Decky to DA, he launches the night show with Brian Jones. Mojo is a very funny show. Our buddy Adam Grassi produced it for a while.
I notice it.
Chris Moore was great, and he used to film back in the DA. You know, back before they finally allowed me or Bogus to do it. It used to be Moore. It used to be Jody Mack, and Moore would bust chops like no other. But, man, what you find out about Chris Moore real quick, those impersonations get old. And he's only got, like, three of them.
Was that one ever good?
It's Dangerfield. It's Rizzuto. And the Rizzuto's not that good. You're right.
His voice is too deep to be Phil.
But it's so offensive for a caller to call. I always wonder what happened to you as Chris Moore works less and less shifts than ever.
That, to me, was the funniest part of the clip.
But his previous reference point was him being the Panthers radio voice. I think that was like early 2000s.
Yeah.
So this guy's lived two decades wondering where Chris Moore was, and he just found him this weekend.
Well, hold on.
The internet was 2 years
Chris,
old.
Chris, time out. Chris brought up that being the reference point. I don't know. The caller might have just meant, I haven't heard you in like 3 months.
Yeah. The last time I heard you were calling an Ed Jovanovski goal. Now here you are today. Let's celebrate with Phil Rizzuto.
And how many times, Carlos, you produced the show. How many times did we get this? Everybody in the club getting tips.
I mean, thank the good Lord I haven't heard that yet. I don't have that much.
The last modern song Chris has heard. Chris will sometimes on social media just randomly post pictures of bears and talk to them. I mean, it's... Whew.
You're right though. Some of his tweets are pseudo cries for help.
When he was calling games, there was no trapezoid.
Yeah.
So that just sounds right. I have a great Chris. Was anybody at the Adam Grassi wedding? Noodles is what he used to go by. He used to be a producer at CBS Sports Radio. Was anybody there besides me?
Yeah, no. I was there.
You were there. So I don't know if you remember this. Chris Moore is sitting at my table. You at my table also?
It was in Manhattan, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So I don't know, maybe there was two tables worth of people, maybe there's one. But we're sitting at the table, and Chris has had quite a few cocktails throughout the night. As we all did, it's a wedding, there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's an open bar, you put enough money in that envelope. And remember, for Chris, this is his former producer, so who knows how much, you know, he's sliding in that old envelope. But Chris has had quite a few drinks and can't stop talking, so we get to speech time. Do you remember this, Bogues?
Not yet. Jog my memory.
So you got the best man... You got the maid of honor, and then, of course, the father of the bride is going to say a few words. And Chris, one line in comments to the table after every single line in these speeches.
Oh, no.
We get to the father's speech, the father of the bride, okay? And Chris is there. Now I'm getting a little like, I'm laughing because it's funny, but at the same time, I'm getting uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How I end up sitting directly next to Chris, mistake. Right? Big mistake. The father of the bride, and Chris is just, he starts doing Dangerfield, mocking the father of the bride. And the father of the bride, mid-speech, blurts out, enough already.
Yes. Yes. I remember this now.
Looks over at the table, enough already, scolding eyes, shaking the microphone. And I'm sitting there, stone frozen, looking at everybody at the table. And I look over at Chris, and I just gently do a point. And I point over at Chris and I like mouth the words, I'm sorry.
It's the old guy.
It's him. And I think because Chris is the older guy at the table, the father didn't exactly know who it was. I think he assumed it was us younger, immature
people. How would he not? Why would he not?
And not the oldest guy at the table. And from that point forward, the dancing Chris was just like pushing people out of the way in the dance floor, running in circles. It became mortifyingly embarrassing. And that's my Chris Moore wedding story.
Oh, that's rough.
Bogues, come on. The father of the bride tells us enough.
Yeah. See, now I can't remember if I was sitting at your table or at the next table and feeling in a safe place that I was, there was so, no one judging me.
My heart sunk. It was so anxious.
All the speeches, you don't talk during that
one. And I'm pretty sure he was, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure he got inebriated enough that with an hour left of the wedding, he needed to lay down. They laid him down in the bridal suite.
Oh, no.
And you can't do that.
Oh, come on.
You got to have way more feel than that.
I could be wrong on that. We might have joked about that because it's been years and years and years.
With a bunch of kids 20 years younger than you.
Yeah.
You said we need a guest. I'll call him.
Yeah. No, I don't know about that. But yeah, either way. And for the record, I still think about it to this day because it made me laugh my ass off. But in real time, it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, no.
Oh, no. That's the worst speech to talk during.
The guy's giving away his girl, and it's, you know, daddy's mom, and there's Chris. Oh, that Huckleberry dad, you know, whatever he's doing there.
That guy paid for everything, pretty much.
Exactly.
And that wedding was not cheap either.
It was not cheap. New York City skyline pictures, wine just being thrown in. I think they had pizza being given away.
Yes.
I stumbled onto that train ride home for sure.
Was there ever a follow-up comment from the father? Did he ever come over?
Nope.
Did he ever, nothing.
We avoided him like the plague the rest of the night.
Why would you avoid him? I would, like, at one point.
He thought it was any. He didn't.
I know, but I would have slipped by him at one point and be like, hey, man, it wasn't even
worth
guy.
It. Wasn't even worth it. I stayed away. Stayed far, far away. All right, Pat, what do we got?
We got headlines for sure.
Whenever you're ready, no rush.
All right, let's do them now.
What happened?
No, I was wanting to get my earpiece in.
Oh.
We started with Major League.
Jeez. You're not Tucker Carlson. Let's go here.
We started with. Pete liked that one.
Daddy likes.
Pat's employed.
That's the key to getting the job. We started with Major League Baseball last hour. Let's start in Omaha this hour.
Don't tell Kenny Brock we made that joke.
Who?
They say alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush. Well, if they did have them, they'd be cleaning out a tiger from their teeth yesterday.
Caglione, high fly ball, deep to right field, at the track, looking up, it is gone! Caglione stands alone, 33 home runs on the season, the most ever by a player in the BB Corps bat era.
That's Kevin Kugler, Westwood One. It sounds so much softer when you say BB Corps era. Right?
What is that supposed to mean?
That's when they change the bats so that they're not, you know,
they're less
killing people, yeah. You know, off the bat. The metal
bats.
Oh,
I didn't know they did that.
Oh, but there's so many. There's a USA bat. There's a U triple SA bat.
Oh, this is a college baseball clip.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I said we're starting in Omaha.
I didn't hear you.
It's a good show, Sean. You should listen in.
All right.
I mean, my God.
Anyway,
Chad Caglione's 33rd home run of the season was one of the dozen of highlights for number 2 Florida. Gators set a men's college World Series record with 24 runs. They demolished number 5 LSU 24-4. Also tied a college World Series record with 23 hits. So we have a winner-take-all championship game tonight at 7 Eastern.
I will also tell you, did you know they did? They're in the SEC. They did not play each other at all during the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
Because
you have a limited number of weekends to play, and there's, 13 teams in the SEC?
Because LSU 14? Looked at Florida on the schedule and said, bye, you.
Oh, damn it. I can't. Has someone sent DA a clip of last week's shows? Because it went through all this work to rearrange a schedule to come back to that.
He'll get to hear it firsthand tomorrow.
What's going
to
happen? Is he going to fire him?
Hi-yo.
Fair.
Sorry, leaving the show.
You could run me into the ground the next 2 weeks, I'll tell you that.
I'm scrambling for any NFL news here, so this is what I got for you this hour. Mercedes Lewis is still waiting for a team to give him a call. Longtime veteran tight end.
Thanks for reading the rundown.
What do you mean? Well, I didn't get sent the rundown.
I don't have a work email.
That's not my fault that I'm not included on the rundown.
Okay.
He's hoping to play an 18th season in the NFL. Still a free agent. Recently told the AP, quote, if you just look at my film from the last 3 years, there's no decline in what I'm able to do. I'm the best blocking tight end out there, end quote.
Wow.
Last year, Mercedes Lewis, 6 catches for 66 yards and 2 tutties for the Packers, but he did play at least 40.
Enough with the tutties.
You never heard the word tutties?
No, I have.
I hate the word tutties. It's juvenile.
I actually like this. This could
Carlos, be. Carlos, what? Come on. Come to 2023 with me.
It's a touchdown. It's not a tutty.
It's a tutty.
Tutties might as well be a swaddle. It's a diaper. Tutties is obnoxiously immature. I love you. I really do. I hate the word. It's so annoying. No more toddies.
That really got you, huh?
Hard knocks. I've been hearing it for like 2 years. It's not a toddy. It's not a damn toddy. It's a TD. Stop being lazy. It's two freaking letters.
Hard knocks.
I didn't want to interrupt that because that has to be a drop or a rejoin or something.
This is Hard Knocks.
Round one.
I apologize.
Training camp with how to interview for Mraz's job, Carlos Fight. Versus Boyle.
Fight.
It's really lazy. Pat,
it's a cool way.
He's also 10 years younger than me, so it's cool for him.
Are you calling Boyle lazy? Touchdown.
No, I think everybody who uses it, it's just, it's lazy. It's Tutty's not cute.
So lazy versus cool.
It's a cool way to say touchdown.
Vocal comeback.
Now we're going to talk about some of how do we think a Connor Green or a Billy Jocalone says it.
Billy doesn't say tutties.
No?
No.
Billy just turns the mic on and goes, huh?
Okay. How do we think a Kevin Wall says it? I'm trying to go inside the interview room here.
I think Wall's a TD guy. Ho. Carlos, didn't you trash people that said tutties? Okay.
I got to be honest. I kind of agree with Carlos. I hate tutty.
Really? Hey, this is Kevin Wall from CBS Sports.
Yeah. What about you? You talked about honey buns, like was it like 100-yard games or honeys or something like that?
Yeah, honey buns. Honey buns.
Right. And I believe
it's a 100-yard game.
I thought we agreed that tutties was out, was not allowed on the show. I thought that day we made a decision.
Did
on
Did DA co-sign that?
Pat.
I thought so.
Pat.
But that's it's
you
okay.
You better
that
study
you
up, man. These are big interviews coming up, pal.
You're getting jacks, you're getting punchies for strikeouts, you're getting all of it, so.
I don't mind punchies.
But you mind tutties?
Ooh, that's
because tutties is childish.
I wouldn't mind one in my face right now.
Make a poll. Do you like the word tutties?
No,
or
we got a poll there. Sorry. That ship has sailed.
He scored a touchdown. He put the ball past the goal line.
This is a time where I really wish I was hit by a tractor trailer.
Same geez.
All right. Anyway, last night, Freddie Freeman indeed got his 2,000th hit. He also hit home run number 300 earlier this year. So he's now one of just 98 players in the history of Major League Baseball to do so. Dodgers sparked a 3-run comeback in the eighth inning, but the Stros got the better of them in extras. 6-5 the final and 11 3-1-run games this weekend in the 2017 World Series rematch.
Wow.
Houston avoids the sweep with the win. Alex Bregman's RBI single in the 11th was
fart?
The difference.
No, I went,
Oh. I want you guys to hear.
Fart in
how about
room.
That?
I want you guys, I know you played his hit in soundcheck, and I played it in the first hour. I want you to hear him after the game. Freddie Freeman goes, 2,000, not really that cool.
I wasn't really thinking about it because, you know, I'm hoping to get more than 2,000 in my career, so it's not really something I was really thinking about. So,
is that so?
If this was 3,000, I would tell you yes. So hopefully we're doing this again in 6-7 years.
I got bad news for Freddie Freeman. He ain't getting 3,000.
Yeah, I was shocked to find out he was in the league 13 years. Were you shocked to find out he wasn't a Brave?
No. I follow the sport.
No, because he pays attention.
I follow the sport. But he's got, so let's say he doubles his numbers for what he's done this year. He's coming up on 100 hits on the season. He gets to 2,100 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
He's got to get 900 hits in the next 5, 6, 7 years. That's not happening.
Unless he's at the Boyle girl pace.
Then he'll have 4,000 hits.
There we go. Pete.
Hey,
All right.
Do you want me to finish?
It's time to take a break.
Jeez.
All right. Well, we got plenty more baseball to talk about. So I guess we'll get to that next hour.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Pat.
And golf. And I had some basketball stuff.
All right.
But we get caught up because Carlos freaking out because I called it a tutty.
Well, honestly, it was the most entertaining part of the show. So I thank you both.
I'm going to love that. If these guys are going to fight each other now on the show, I think I'm going to love
it. I'm in. By the way, here's your next segment. You ready, Pat? Anything else for you, Uncle Lewis? Will Mercedes find another home? It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
$5,000 is nothing to you. What was your last contract? $1.5 million now to $5,000. $5,000 is a lot of money.
The DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. What do me in a science class in community college, the movie The Departed, the song Shoulder Lean, and Mercedes Lewis all have in common?
We'll have no chance.
Well, you never went to that college class. Maybe you never saw The Departed. You don't know what that song is based on you singing it.
But you do know Mercedes Lewis, so I'm confused.
They all debuted the same year, 2006.
How about that?
Me in a science class in college, mm-hmm. Shoulder Lean, the movie The Departed. Do you remember when The Departed came out? Barely, right? I mean, and I
didn't realize
that movie.
It was that long ago.
That's how long Mercedes Lewis has been in the NFL. 2006? 2000, Bogus, what was Andrew Bogus doing in 2006?
2006, so I was 26 years old. I was probably a part-time worker at Sirius and...
Wow, at Sirius.
Doing a lot of... I was still doing the U.S. Open. I had just come back from my second French Open in 2006. Was engaged to be married.
Wow, you went to France for the French Open.
I did, twice.
Wow.
Back-to-back years.
That's tennis, not golf.
Which
right?
is the beginning of Rafael Nadal's reign that only just okay. ended.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nadal's bowed out. Can Mercedes Lewis bow out? So Mercedes Lewis is still hopeful. He's unbelievably, from 2006 to 2022, however many years that is, 16, carry, that's 18 years?
You were right at the beginning.
He has only played for two franchises, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Green Bay Packers.
He's gone back and forth, though, a few times, has he not?
No.
It feels like it. Like the Freddie Freeman Dodgers, Braves, Braves,
you
Dodgers.
You would think.
Don't confuse him.
2006 to 2017, he was a Jag. Then 2018 to 2022, he was a Packer. He's now 38 years old. He's only 2 years older than me. He feels like he's aging. And now Mercedes Lewis is looking to play another year, saying is you know, he hasn't dropped off. He only had two touchdowns, but he's calling himself a blocking tight end. Now, Aaron Rodgers didn't bring him to the Jets with him, probably because the Jets have 50 tight ends. Does Mercedes Lewis find a home this year, Pogues?
I mean, this is big news. This should be in an update on a slow Monday morning.
It should be.
Yeah.
As we look for football.
I'm going to say no, Sean. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want him, I'm guessing he's not going to find work somewhere.
And hot take, if his first name's not Mercedes, like a cool name like that, I don't think he's still in the NFL.
That's fair.
There you have it. But hey, Pete liked that take.
That's not a bad thought.
All right. When we come back, is it wrong to boo a draft pick? We talk about that involving the NBA draft. It's Mraz, it's Bogus, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.